It's been almost 5 years since we started this journey of building a software tool to liberate and educate entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. This podcast reveals the tips and strategies we and our fellow entrepreneurs have used to start, build, grow, and scale their companies. My name is Dave Woodward. Join me as I take you behind the scenes so you can hear what works, what doesn't, and the strategies being used to get your message out to the world. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is going to be a fun episode. I'm actually in the office today. I have Jake here with me, Jake Leslie, who is our head graphic designer, has become a dear friend. He and his family are just amazing. I love his wife, Manny. I mean, the two of you guys just have such a cool relationship. It's been fun to see. Great family, great kids, and has literally been the glue that has kind of held together the whole graphic side of the company, which we've never had before. It was all outsourced. But with that, I just want to welcome to the show and just kind of hearing this out.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when I first started, when I came here and interviewed, I talked to Russell and he's like, yeah, you can come in, take an interview. And I remember talking to Brent and he's just like, yeah, we don't really need a designer in-house. I was like, are you serious? Like, do you have anybody that's here? And he's like, no, but we don't really need that. And sure enough, I started working here and 2 weeks later, Russell's like, you have to be full-time designer doing only design, nothing else.
I love it.
It's kind of funny.
And it's been fun. If you've watched, so when was that? You've been on two and a half years. So you'll see our total design element has completely changed since then, all thanks to Jake. It's been really cool. So give some people some background as far as where were you at before ClickFunnels? What brought you to ClickFunnels? What's the story?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of take it back even to when I was really, really little, just loving art in general. Like, I mean, I'm the son of a football coach. And so I had a really strong-willed dad that, you know, taught me how to push myself, how to be a leader, and how to really, you know, get myself out there and really test myself and my ability. And so that was kind of one side of me. But then there's also this random other side of me that was like, I want to be an artist. And my parents were like, oh, great. Like, what are
how's this quarterback to artist?
Yeah, seriously, pretty much. And so I always kind of tried to find that dynamic of how can I continue doing art, but then be successful. And so as I kind of went throughout my life and as I, you know, was learning all these different things, so I started doing photography and then I kind of moved into graphics very, very slowly from a roommate of mine. But I always had really good teachers. That was always a really, really big thing going throughout my life. And I'm a huge advocate of like Derek Smith was like this huge, amazing person for me. So actually I broke my back my junior year of high school. And so went to the doctor. He's basically just said, you know, you can't play football anymore, clearly. And so I needed an alternative. And so I had a really good teacher named Derek, Mr. Smith, who helped me kind of work out of that weird funk of like.
Total identity shift.
Yeah.
Here I am, the quarterback of the football team, and now I'm laid up and I can't move.
Yeah. Back. Yeah. And that was kind of a weird transition for me, but just being educated, being just seen by an educator and saying, hey, I'm going to kind of take you under my wing, teach you little things that you need to know about this industry. And that really just excelled in everything. So quickly, you know, went to school, started doing graphics. And it's kind of funny because I went to college and I was going to college for graphics. They didn't quite have a graphics department yet. But I would go out and get clients to do my assignments. I was like, if I'm going to work on stuff like this, I might as well get paid to do it. So my teacher would assign me an assignment. I would then go out and find a business to say, hey, I'm doing this for free anyway. So can I get paid a little bit and do it for you as my assignment? And that's actually how I paid for school and going through college.
That's awesome. I love
so
that story.
I just flipped my assignments to actual projects. And it was great because by the time I actually left college, I actually had a full portfolio that I could show people, yes. which is a huge difference compared to the way that college is teaching now. And I mean, you obviously have industry specific schools, which are amazing, but in my college, people are graduating with graphics degrees and not having anything to show for it.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah. So that was really good. So coming right out of the gate, I was able to show, you know, my whole portfolio and just start getting jobs left and right. So kind of got me in the whole mix of things, did really, really well with doing advertising and stuff. I was actually kind of one of the people that brought up the piano guys from
there. I remember that.
Just remember talking to Paul and he's like, hey, I have this really cool idea to, you know, start a YouTube, a YouTube channel. Back then it was just like, wait, why would you ever do that? I mean, he drove a Viper and had a really good life selling pianos and he wanted to start this YouTube channel and kind of give up everything for it. And, you know, a year later I saw them on Jay Leno and became the piano guys and they're one of the biggest YouTube channels out there. So that was kind of like my taste in, you know, the internet marketing world, opposed to just making websites and different things like that for people. And ever since that happened, and you know, that kind of got us a lot of customers as an agency. I had an agency in college named Stub Thumb Productions because I've got funky little thumbs that I'm glad that the world
never paid attention to now.
Stub Thumb Productions.
And Stub Thumb
that
Productions.
Was, that was the very, very first agency that I ever started. And me and my roommate did it just out of our dorm room and just had a lot of traction. And just it just really, really caught on. And I finally had this realization of like software is where the money is. So I can be an artist, I can be successful, but I can also get out of the norm of just, you know, working 9 to 5. And I really dove into software. as you know, a lot of people that are in the software industry fail a lot, and I failed a lot.
As have we.
Yes. But I learned a ton. I started software, I was in it for about 2 years, learned all these different things about outsourcing and how to manage teams and dev teams. And we had a really, really good back end. We just kind of had a lot of missing pieces that I didn't necessarily understand. And come later on in life, I moved to Idaho to be closer to family. And I started getting wind of Russell Brunson and ClickFunnels. And that was just like this huge open door to this guy did this in X amount of time. And back when I was listening to Russell, I think you guys had, I think ClickFunnels is like 20,000 users. And so I would watch Russell's, oh my gosh, I can't remember the app by Twitter.
Periscope.
Periscope. I remember sitting in my little office, just shutting the door and watching Russell's Periscopes. And one day he mentioned Idaho. And for some reason, I had no idea that ClickFunnels was here. It just never even occurred to me. And the second he's like, yeah, you know, we're over here in Boise, Idaho. And I just had this like light bulb on the top of my head. Just like, I have to work for this guy. And so I kind of flipped the Dream 100 system of being like, I want to do that to get a job. Not
necessarily. Dream one.
Yeah, the dream one, literally. I mean, I did make kind of my top five lists, and ClickFunnels was literally the very top thing. And I literally reached out to Russell on Facebook, and I have, by the glory of God, Russell actually responded, which would never happen anymore.
Not anymore.
He's never going to look at that stuff. But he actually asked me to come in and interview, and that kind of started this whole journey of craziness. I came on helping social media. Russell and Steven were building funnels for the first, I can't even remember, I think it was Expert Secrets was one of the first big launches, and they built a page and I saw it. And I actually stayed late one day and rebuilt the page how I would do it and sent it to Russell. And then immediately he sent me a message like, come work with me and Steven for a couple of days. And that just changed everything for me. So
back to the principle of work for free. It does pay off.
Well, and it kind of goes back to, you know, you don't ever want to overstep your bounds, but you also want to push what you know, right? If you don't know something, get really good at it. Like I understand funnel design. I understand web design. I've been doing it for a really, really long time. And it's just the little things that I've been taught kind of throughout my life and the things that I pay attention to that I implement to our funnels that make them convert like they do and make them successful like they are. And it's little things like that that make a huge transition in people's businesses. It's just like, man, why is my funnel converting? I'm like, because it's ugly. Or people don't trust you. I mean, if you walked into McDonald's and there were cockroaches on the floor and everything was just breaking down, you're not going to want a hamburger from that place. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. And so the brand and the identity that people are showing to people as they're approaching their page, it's huge. It's such a big aspect of what a funnel is and people trusting you and buying your product.
So most of the people listening can't afford you. So if they can't afford you, if a person's getting started and they want Jake Leslie style quality, what do they do? How do they get that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a lot of people try to. I actually had somebody call me the other day, and they're like, "Hey, I need a graphic designer." I'm like, "Oh, awesome!" He's like, "Yeah, I need him to put together a funnel and then make this video for me, and then I also need him to run Facebook ads, and then after that, probably do a little bit of marketing, different things like that." I'm like, "Whoa!" It just kind of took a step back and be like, those are every single position. Every time you took a pause or a breath, that's a different person." And it's funny how people don't understand that. I mean, you obviously want to get the biggest bang out of your buck, but actually taking a step back and saying, these are the things that I can do. Let me try to help someone else and see if they'll help me in turn. So when I first started, I literally just reached out and said, hey, I need marketing help. I need this. I'll do design for you if you help me with this, and just kind of got a payoff and really saved a lot of money as I was kind of going through the business.
Barter system works.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, if you have a specialty and you are good at something, which if you don't get into that, I mean, you can't get ahead in this business unless you have something that you specialize in, right? But that's a big focus that I really wanted to get in. Is just, okay, this person has value, this person has this. And I slowly started making these little charts and webs and just like, okay, this person can help me with this. If I go help this blogger that has 5 million people go to her website, yeah, I'll take $1,000 that I might get from her doing this little thing and just do it for free, in turn getting a shout out from her on her social media, you know? And doing little things like that really, really helped me kind of establish myself as a designer. So I would highly suggest that for people that are kind of building on a budget, I guess you could say, is just making sure that they're finding the resource and really just getting out there. Trust Fiverr, trust those little things. If you're not getting product back that looks good, it's your fault for not explaining it correctly.
So I don't have the eye that you and Russell have. And so for me, if for a person who's not exactly sure what quote unquote looks good versus what doesn't, how do you know?
Yeah, and that's a lot of things that we see, we kind of just take, like we see it and we just kind of assume that's it. Like Amazon, for example, you have a product on the left, you have your order form on the right, you have all the information down below. You go to a shopping cart, same kind of thing. You really need to take a step back and say, wait, if I go to this page, this page, this page, the product's always on the left. If they're selling a physical product in an e-commerce store, it's always on the left. And I constantly have people like, oh, I put my product over here in the right-hand corner and I did this, this, and this. And I'm like, show me one other page that's a huge, huge page that's not Walmart.com, Amazon, eBay, that doesn't have that product in that exact position.
Like, trust me, they have split tested that a million times. They have a budget to split test any locations.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, follow what's out there. It's okay if you don't have an eye for design. That's totally fine. But if you see something that looks appealing, I have a folder that I keep on my computer. I have a saved document that I keep on my Instagram feed. And I just capture things. Every time I see an ad, I swipe up. I destroy people's ads and their conversions. Because I literally copy the link to the landing page that it sends me to, and I send it to myself on Slack so that I can later study it and see what they're doing to convert to that.
It's a funnel hacking secret. So yeah, go back to Instagram. What are you doing on Instagram?
On Instagram, so I'm actually saving. I follow a lot of UI designers and just a lot of entrepreneurs in general. So every time, you know, someone that's Russell-esque releases something, I save those in a folder. So I save it for, you know, UI reasons, whether it's the placement of the page that I really like. There's a lot of people.
Folder on your computer, folder on your phone?
For Instagram, it's a phone. So you can literally, there's a little heart, or excuse me, there's like a little banner thing over to the right of a post that you can click, and then you can save it into an actual folder. So I have typography, I have, UI design, I have interesting posts. Like a lot of designers right now are posting, you know, why your website sucks, and it shows you 5 or 6 different examples of that. So I'm going to start doing little things like that for funnels, right? And so it's just getting concepts and saving those and creating a massive swipe file. So when Russell comes to me and he says, Jake, I have this awesome idea. It's amazing. And you need to do it in 2 days. I immediately go to the people that I'm funnel hacking, right? That Russell teaches. I'm modeling other people and their design elements. So on my computer, I'm grabbing snippets like, oh, I really like how he did this one section. I really like how Tony Robbins did this in this banner image. I really like this sales message here. And I'm grabbing every little piece of that, and I call it Frankensteining. So I have all these different pieces. So before I work on that project, I grab everything and kind of make a puzzle out of it. So it's like, I really like this section. Just because one thing's green and one thing's red, it doesn't matter, or pink or blue or whatever. You're just getting everything in the right place because you're saving yourself a huge step. You can actually send that to a client and just say, do I at least have a good outline of what I'm doing here? And you're going to save yourself tons of time and hours, right? Or even for yourself, and even seeing if that's the right layout that you want and your team or you yourself can agree on that's the kind of flow that you want. So, honestly, from there, I literally keep a folder of that. And then as I'm building it, I'll reference that, put it all together, and then I'll actually put that over on one screen, and then I'll open up ClickFunnels and then kind of build according to what I'm seeing.
That's awesome.
So that way I'm not reinventing anything, and kind of going back to the e-commerce things and noticing that it's everything on the internet is a pattern. there's kind of forefathers to the internet that did that, and that's just kind of what you have to abide by, whether it's ugly or not. Like, I think Amazon's the most ugliest thing on the planet, but it works, right? So if that's working, do the same thing. And so find the patterns of UI, user interface. Sorry, when I say UI, I'm on the placement of where things are on the website, I guess is the easier word to say for most people. But when you're seeing that, notice those patterns of where things are and stick with that. So it's like, okay, I notice on this, this, and this, that these are in this, the products on this side, the order forms on this side. Everything else you can be really creative with, but those set things, stick with it. Don't change it.
I love that. It's fun. Having grown up in the direct response marketing area, everything was about swipe files. And at the time, all of our swipe files were primarily physical printed letters. I mean, they were folders and stuff. And then obviously went to where it's all digital swipe files. And every email basically for me gets, whoever it's coming from gets put into a different folder so I can go back and track and see how that works. But I love the idea as far as a swipe file for design.
That's super cool. It drives my wife crazy. We get like all the Costco things in the mail. And I'm like, oh, that looks so cool. And I'll like put it aside. Like, this looks so cool. I'll put it aside. She's like, throw that crap away. I'm like, but it looks amazing. Like, the designer did a great job. And, you know, maybe I'll bust something like, hey, I need a postcard. I'll pull it out and say, this is a good idea, you know? And you're not copying it. You're just finding the placement of it. If you ask any athlete on this planet, like, hey, how did you get your start? You know, like, for example, Tom Brady, he loves Joe Montana. That's like, that's Tom's idol. You know that Tom Brady watched Joe Montana every step, every way that he threw, everything. You're modeling off of what's happening. And everyone that's good at what they do, it's because they modeled it off of somebody that was already great. And then they became that person, right? And that's the exact same thing as you're building these pages. The amazing thing about the people that are in our community is Russell Brunson has every stinking funnel type on the planet that's already out there for your expense, right? So we've already made that investment for you. And we do that on purpose. We don't build all of our funnels the same way so that you can see a different funnel type in action. So funnel hack it, see how it works, see how we're doing our OTOs and why we're placing it that way. I mean, there's strategy behind everything that we do. And so that's another huge advantage that you kind of have being a part of this community. Just see what we do and kind of see the flow of it. Don't copy it.
Please, like, please don't copy.
Because some things we just do just because it looks cool, but it's the placement and the process and the pattern that we're sticking with. That's what everyone else should be doing as well.
I love it. Tell me as far as colors. As far as complementary colors, things that work together, things that clash together.
Yeah.
I see some things, I'm like, really? You thought that looks good because of those colors?
Yeah, colors are hard. And that's still an ongoing thing. I mean, you have cooler.adobe, that's cooler with a K, K-U-L-E-R. Cooler.adobe is nice because you can pick a color and then it gives you different variations. So, you know, monochromatic colors are different shades or different angles on the colors. So like, what's, if you select this color, what's it across the other side of the color wheel that it kind of gives you that complementary color. And so that kind of helps people. My suggestion is find two colors that your brand already has that exists. And then you kind of need a third splash color as like a call to action. So if you notice kind of in our 30 days, I think it's 30days.com, we're using a lot of dark blues and reds. Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of our accent colors, but I'm really pulling out the red where I want the eye to focus. So we're doing a lot of dark blue. So if you focus on the page, our big headline at the very, very top, I have a huge red underline underneath the part where I want the eye to focus. And then I actually have that continue over to the right side because I have the call to action on that right side as well. So I'm trying to get, everyone reads an F pattern. So I'm trying to get the eye to go down to that call to
action. Explain what F pattern is.
An F pattern, sorry. We all read left to right. And so when a user comes to our websites, that's the reason why logos are typically on the left. Because again, you're seeing brand, you're getting confidence and trust. Like, okay, this is an established brand. I'm okay with giving them my credit card information. I'm okay. I'm settled down. I'm not nervous, right? And then as I'm continuing through the page, I'm going to the right. And if I get bored, I immediately come back to left and start over again, which is creating an F or a Z. There's a lot of people that say Z pattern as well. But you got to keep kind of the things in those positions. So I'm drawing attention to the red here, and then I'm also drawing attention to red in the call to action button because that's my next action that I want them to commit. I want them to read, I want them to commit, right?
Very cool.
We have 70% of our users that don't do more than two scrolls down these pages. So if you think about it, 70% of your customers are seeing that, I mean, literally grab your mouse and go 1, 2, and that's 70% of people that don't get past that step. So the amount of time that you need in those little blocks is so critical. And I, again, I spend 70% of my time when I build these funnels on those pages. Even though Russell's crazy long sales pages are forever long, I'll still spend more time on the top because I know that that's what a lot of our warm traffic will see right away. And I need them to commit because that's where the money comes from, right?
I love it.
So anyway, just focusing your attention on those areas, getting the colors that match your brand, and then having that one color that you want the eye to be drawn to. And it shouldn't be black. It shouldn't be white. It shouldn't be gray. It needs to be something that really comes out and grabs you.
I love that. As we kind of get close to wrapping things up here, what would be other words of advice or tips and wisdom you want to make sure people know?
I mean, funnels, a funnel is an amazing thing. And it's fun. It's interesting how a lot of people kind of take the funnel concept and just act like, you know, it's just a crazy moneymaker. But a lot of it has to happen on the front end. You know, we really focus on ads and getting something that's appealing to people. I remember like John and I collaborate a lot just on our Facebook ads. And one time we did a big hamburger. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw that, but it's just, and then we instantly led them into the Funnel Hacker Cookbook. But it was just a really engaging thing to make that person stop. And so if you think about the context of that, it's, you have to create something that's beautiful that you can make that customer really stop and hone in on, like, what is this guy doing? That's the reason why memes are really popular. That's the reason why, just because it's out of the ordinary. It's like, it's a video, but then all of a sudden there's more stuff there. And it's not, my eye's not used to seeing that. And the more and more that you're creative with that and really step out of the box a little bit and take a step back and just being like, hey, this is what everyone's used to seeing, which is, okay, that's what I need to stick with. But then I can add a little bit to that to try to draw it in. So, and that goes the same with the funnel. If I'm on your funnel and I'm scrolling and I'm looking at the page, it's almost like the Ferris Bueller teacher. It's just like Bueller. It's the same stuff over and over again. Just white and text. If you're scrolling down any of our pages, you'll notice that I have maybe two sections in white, and then I immediately throw another color in there to keep it interesting. And that goes for slideshows. That goes for everything. So I guess where I'm going with this is there's a really good way to train the eye to pay attention, to really focus. And I know nowadays that's, oh my, you guys moan behind us. Okay. Nowadays, like, people's attention span is so short that you have to keep engaging them. So as you're scrolling through pages, as you're doing slides, as you're doing Facebook ads, as you're doing funnels, make sure that you're not just doing the same thing for a long period of time. Break it up. If you have a good section of copy, break it up with a big headline or something, or make an entire section like a red with another, form of copy inside of it. Just kind of break up the feed a little bit, making it a little bit of a call to action to jump out at your customers. And that'll change everything. It's little things like that that literally adjust the conversions and funnels that make a huge, huge difference.
I love it. So, well, I could literally sit here and talk to Jake for hours. The guy is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. It's super fun having you here. If people want to reach out, what's the easiest, best place to find more about Jake?
I'm on Instagram, Jake Leslie Designs. I post a lot of things that we kind of do here local at ClickFunnels, kind of in the HQ, kind of the fun things that we don't necessarily get to see from Russell's side, because a lot of the we all sit kind of in a pit area, and so the things that happen within the pit stay in the pit, but not on Instagram. So we have a lot of good content on there, and just that's kind of my main platform right now is getting people there and really keeping them updated and really getting people to love the concept of a funnel. So,
all right, one more time. What's the handle?
Jake Leslie Designs.
Jake Leslie Designs on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Thanks so much, bud.
No problem. Thank you.
We'll talk to you guys soon. All right, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Right now, as we're going on our journey to 100,000 users, we really want to invite you along. And one of the ways we can invite you along is we want to find out what you think about what we're currently doing. So please rate, review this, share this with others. Take a picture of this and post on Instagram. Tag us in it. Tag Funnel Hacker Radio or tag Dave Woodward. We'd love to know what your thoughts are. And most importantly, the ways that we can actually help you journey to whatever number of users or customers or community you're trying to build. Remember, you're just one funnel away.